The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strongwriter on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. That's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
My mind's made up to choose what or who will inspire me. And in this case, if you heard last week's episode, you know who was inspiring me. It was John and Judy Rodman, a wonderful husband and wife duo from Nashville, Tennessee. Let me introduce myself. My name is Dean Olson, and welcome to Strongwriter on the radio, helping songwriters stay musically fit and also learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you. And the best in the business, in my book, is this duo, John and Judy Rodman from Nashville. They are releasing a debut CD, first time that they are doing this as a couple, Americana Music. It is called Here We Are. You can get information at their website, which is www.johnandjudyrodman.com. That's all one word. Or you can just go to strongwriter.com and you can hear past episodes, including part one of this interview with this amazing duo. I want you to hear part two. When we last left this conversation, I was discussing with John and Judy their CD and how it sounded. And John, who is a drummer, I was complimenting him on how great the drumming was, but I didn't hear enough of it. It wasn't up in the mix. And I was 6 inches from probably putting my foot in my mouth to insult their engineer, which I didn't want to do. But anyway, I really enjoyed talking with these two, and I know you're going to enjoy the second half. So let's pick up right after I was talking about the drums and the mix. So here you go. I didn't want to insult your engineer. I thought it was mixed very well, actually.
Yeah.
But I wanted to hear more cowbell.
You know? No, that was by design.
Yeah. No, but there is something that was written in some of your press here where I think he had a quote where he said he got to hit the trash cymbal a few times and he liked that.
That was at the end of Something Bad.
Oh, yeah. And I like that song. I told Judy. I thought it was great. I love that kind of groove.
When we were doing work tapes, I put that trash cymbal on the end of every one of the work tape on all the songs just for fun. But that's the only one I actually put it on the recording.
For those listening, can you explain what that is? You know, they say, oh, it's a cymbal. It's a trash cymbal. What is that, like a trash can lid?
Well, it's a Chinese designed cymbal.
Yeah, they call it a China sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the edges are turned up, and it's got that kind of trashy sound. All I know.
Well, drummers do like, I don't know, all drummers are a little different, but what's it like being married to a drummer, Judy? They're supposed to be a different breed of person, animal.
I think they are. Some people go for guitar players. I guess I just went for the drummer.
Well,
but
good for him.
Really, the one, I tell you, honestly, it through my career, it's been very hard for me to play with drummers because John is so tasteful in what he plays. There are people that play, you know, everything, everywhere, and all that. And one of my things I've come to love, and, you know, after this many years of doing it, is that, and to know deeply, is that sometimes it's what you don't play that's the magic, you know?
Uh-huh.
And there's a subtlety, like James Taylor's drummer, and the stuff that Steve Gadd does, and all that. And John just has a feel, there's a touch that he doesn't, when you bang, it's like The Voice too. If you sing as hard as you can, it actually doesn't sound as big because it has to be overcompressed and it thins it out and all that. Well, when you hit a drum as hard as you can, it's the same sort of thing. So you almost have to ask the drum to sound and ask the vocal cord, you know, to sound. And we love playing with mature musicians that have learned to do that, to kind of ask our instruments to sound like a good horseback rider or something.
'Cause you need something bad. Hold your cards real tight, smooth as a slick soothsayer. You buy your own damn lies, but love you can trust turns you cold, leaves you flat. 'Cause you need something bad.
Sure it does.
Yeah,
and I like how you were saying that, you know, not to overdo it. There were points when you were singing that you would get to a crescendo, like maybe on Still Breathing,
yeah,
or something like that. And I was expecting it to go another way, and yet you came up. It was powerful and strong and elegant. You know, the vibrato. I was expecting something a little more for a bluesy type of.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
you have. I think that's where you get your style. I wasn't expecting it, and I was pleasantly surprised.
That's great.
Yeah, and I'm no critic on this kind of stuff. I just, you know,
Well, you know what you like.
Yeah,
you
know? I do know
and
what
as
I
a
like.
Listener, that's and, we'd much rather please the regular listener than the dedicated critic.
And I like the fact that it is a kind of nowadays they call it Americana. I don't know what they would have called it in the 70s, when the Eagles were playing, they would just call it country rock here in California. You know,
yeah.
But
it's hard to know what to call it.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a vibe of a classic, maybe almost going back to the 1980s, mm-hmm. late 70s, mm-hmm. with at least with some of the instrumentation. I know
that's
that
great.
I think it was There You Are, I think, had, I mean, when there's like, it starts out with like a Rhodes piano or something. I thought I was listening to a, 1985 Columbia Pictures love story or something like that.
That's great.
Yeah, but
that's great.
We kind of
that's where our heart is.
Yeah.
There we are. There we are. And you touch me that way. So many memories then and now. So much that's yet to be. Changes to make as the years roll away. But someday when the earth stops making circles round the sun, love will find a place it's never gone. There we are. There we are.
lot of songs. It says you wrote 6 out of 7 of them, 7 tracks on there. What's the one you didn't write? The one that where everybody plays together?
The one, Still Breathing, is the one that I didn't write with John, but I wrote it with Cassandra Kavinsky.
Mm, okay.
But John and I wrote the rest, but I wrote that one with Cassandra.
She's from New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like working with her? Did you have to do that across the miles, or did she come down?
No, she was actually visiting Nashville. She sort of splits her time between New York and Nashville. And she was here, so we met in different ways in some industry luncheons and also through a musical that we were thinking about writing for. And we just got together in my office one day to just see what we could do. And it was just so easy. And it was great fun because she's such a musician herself and so accomplished. So it was really fun to kind of dig into, okay, let's just, you know, we didn't know each other that well either, but just talk about, let's get down to the nitty gritty about what it would feel like if you all of a sudden realized you just survived this horrible trauma.
Yeah.
And so we did it. It's really so much fun. It's like playing in the sandbox when you get together with a great artist like she is, and you just, let's go play in the sand about this subject, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love that
and
take on it.
And John always liked, the reason we cut it is John always liked it. He's a tough room, but he liked the dynamics of it and loved, you know, the artfulness of it too, I think. We decided to do that because we both loved it.
Suddenly I'm ignoring John over there, like, you know, at a party. This is the way my wife is too. She's good enough at doing the talking for both of us, but.
Well, I kept waiting for you to ask me what did I think about being married to a singer.
Oh, okay.
You asked her about being married to a drummer.
Well, you know, I wanted to, you know, I'm blowing a line I was going to use earlier. I was just say, hey, what's it like, you know, performing together and having the good looking eye candy up there? And then when you started, talking, I was going to say, no, I was talking to Judy.
Yeah, you know? You should have. That'd have been all right.
Yeah. But, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't start talking about something I read in your notes here. It was, you had some perfect moments, and one was watching Nureyev from the orchestra pit.
Right. That was when I was in Memphis, and the Royal Ballet came to perform two nights, and they picked up some local players, you know, some violin players. They picked up me as another percussionist, and he and Dame Fontaine were doing one of the ballets. I can't remember whether it was Swan Lake. It may have been Swan Lake, and I got to watch him warm up, which was just phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
Just to watch him on the stage by himself warming up.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And you also played, another one was that you played jazz with Marvin Stamm, and something about handing your tambourine to Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there was a little jazz club in Memphis called the Sharecropper. And every once in a while, the regular drummer had to go out of town or do something, so I would sub for him. And just happened one of the nights, Marvin, who was, I think, originally from Memphis, came in and just sat in with us, and so I got to play with Marvin Stamm. And then Danny Thomas, you know, when he started the St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis, he did it for several years, but the first year that he did it, he had what he called a shower of stars, which was to help raise money for the hospital.
Right.
And
right.
I was playing percussion on that, and he brought in, there was Frank Sinatra, a singer named Vicky Carr.
Oh, boy.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
And the Pips, yeah.
And Sammy Davis Jr. And I'm probably forgetting somebody else. So we're doing the show, and, you know, Sammy gets through singing a song, and he just turns around and says, "You got a tambourine back there." And, of course, I did. So I handed it down to him, and this was totally not, you know, scripted into the show. And he just had a spotlight on him and did Mr. Bojangles with nothing but a tambourine.
Wow.
Just blew me away.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, if he'd have told you to step aside, I'm going to play a little something on the drums, would you have gotten off of there?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds fun. That sounds like a lot of fun. So I just had to ask that because you'll always have that in your mind and Sammy now that they're both gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But going through and recording this album, that had been a fun thing for you to do together. So
yeah.
What was it like as far as the writing of the songs? Did you start from scratch, you know, just come up with some concepts right there and in a room together, or did you have some things saved up?
It really was recent that we, more recently, that we really began writing. The first song we ever wrote was When the Day is Over, and that was in 2012. And so I think at the end of, kind of the end of 2012. So we really didn't even plan this album until we realized, we looked back and realized we had a pile of songs that were worth cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really just played. I mean, John and I, after I'm done with my lessons and he's, you know, got his drums set up and all that, we just started playing around and really just creating, like really playing around with ideas and concepts. Sometimes John started with an idea. Sometimes he'd start with a drum beat. And then we just kind of, you know, work it around. With you Want It Back, that song, he was literally just playing this funky beat.
Uh-huh.
And I sat down in the chair in my office at my Word document and listened to him. I'd just ask him to play it over and over again. And then, I asked myself what it was saying. And it finally said, You Want It Back.
Hmm.
And so I had to figure out what that meant then. And then, I would play something on the piano and John would like it, or he would not like it, or could suggest something different. And and before long, but it just was easy and organic. You know,
yeah.
It was just like two people that had been playing music for a long time getting together and jamming.
Yeah, it's like, just like John said, it's like you knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get in sync.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the, when you put Seven on, did you decide that, from the start that we're going to create an album and here's how many songs we'll try for? And
not really.
Okay.
We just, when we finished the seventh one, we just knew it was time. You know, we needed to get in the studio, and where we'd been focusing on some live performing before, which we did, and John got his chops completely back and then some, and I got my chops up.
Mm-hmm.
We focused completely on the studio. And some friends that we had made who are master musicians in Nashville. And it was just a room full of, I don't know if you can tell from the music, but everybody, you know, we were really friends in there. And there was just a lot of love in that room.
I can't
when we were making it.
I do get that feeling. And my compliments to the guitar player, John.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. As you were saying with the drums, you know, you sort of keep it in the mix and keep it, that's how I felt about him. He didn't show off too much, but man, I felt it when I heard him.
Oh yeah,
he was great.
Awesome.
I mean, must have been
their musicianship is just. I mean, you can't get any better than they are.
When you say friends, how'd you all get together? Are these people that you all knew?
Well, Judy knew him. I knew the bass player pretty well, and Judy knew the other ones really well because it's pretty much the. With the exception of the drummer, who she uses on her production projects for other artists.
Uh-huh.
So,
through these years, yeah.
Yeah, we all, it was the first time I'd been in the studio since 1991, so I imagine they were probably wondering, well, can he play?
Well, what were you doing since 1991? Were you playing for, live venues or anything like that?
No, I wasn't playing at all.
Wow, that's a long time to go.
Yeah, it was.
But, did it take like an hour or two for you to get back into it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
That's why I thank Mike Chapman, the bass player, because I knew I had a good bass player that I could get my chops back with, and he helped me a lot that way.
Oh, that's fantastic. Love to hear that. Hey, John, you said you're from Memphis. Did you grow up there?
Yeah, born and raised.
You guys are over in Nashville now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so how long before you moved away from the Elvis' town?
Well, we moved to Nashville in 1980.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, I was born in 1944, so that gives you an idea how old I am and how long I was in Memphis.
Wow. That's, so you're how old, much older than Judy? That's a long...
Oh, I like to think that.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to do that with the ladies. I don't talk about their age.
No.
I figured you were robbing the cradle. That's how it works
in
my house.
That's what you're doing, yeah.
That's another reason I like to play simple.
Do you? Memphis, it said, you got some gigs playing on TV shows, and it said primetime TV. Was this in the background, or were you playing on stage something?
Well, now, that probably is in reference to when Judy did the Tonight Show twice. I played on it once with her.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. Now, I did some musicals that kind of like the ballet company coming into Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
There was some New York musicals that would come in that would pick up some extra players that I got to play on some of those. Played on a Clint Eastwood movie that the music never got in the movie.
Oh, no. Okay.
Politics. but we met Clint.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I saw pictures of you with Clint. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was he? Nice guy?
Very nice.
Yeah, he's such a jazz guy, but he appeared in a few of those films with a country flavor to it, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, the guy in Memphis that he was friends with did some of the tracking music on Play Misty for me.
Uh-huh.
And his name was D. Barton. And D. moved to Memphis. He was originally from Mississippi, and he'd been out in L.A. He came back to Memphis and was working where we are all working in the jingle company. And Clint got in touch with him, or he got in touch with Clint, and about doing the music for one of his movies.
Hmm.
So he came to Memphis, and we recorded for 3 days and just had a great time. But unfortunately, the music got scrapped after it went back to L.A.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't Play Misty for me. You didn't get into that one.
No, no. Oh. This was the first orangutan movie.
Oh, okay. Every Which Way But Loose, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every Which Way
it.
But Loose.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's great. Yeah. So you didn't get to meet the orangutan, huh?
No, but our engineer there in Memphis did. Yeah, he went out to L.A. They were going to do some sweetening, and he got to meet him.
Well, that's cool.
When the day is over.
I know I'm going to forget something, but you think in the future I might be able to get to talk to you again sometime, you or Judy?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Anytime you want. We're here.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's so nice to have gotten to hear you both together, and I think it's... there's nothing better than having husband and wife working together, creating a project together, and then you got something to show for it later on, you know?
Yeah, it's just an unusual situation. You know, a lot of times by this time of life, you're sort of done, you're jaded or tired of the making music and stuff. And we both got away from making music of our own. And I think we're coming back to it freshly. So it's just something, you know, we weren't quite finished, and who knows what we'll get into yet, but if this goes well. But we just, it's an unusual thing. And the fun thing is, no matter what happens to it, we're very happy that we made the music, because we needed to make the music for the music's sake. And then, so I'm really glad that some other people are already reviewing it and liking it, and that we figured that maybe if we made the music that we loved, that other people would too, and other people would kind of need to listen to it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I got to meet Judy before. She's a wonderful... wonderful lady. Wow. But now that I got to meet you, John, you sound kind of no nonsense, but you sound friendly and a heck of a guy. You really sound nice to me. So I'm glad to shake hands with you over the phone here.
Yeah.
So I had to learn, you know, I've been very naive about the music business, thinking that, well, you could create, you know, these people that get out there, they give the appearance that they're doing it all by themselves. But there's so much going on underneath, you know, like even to create an album, I'm sure you had a lot of people backing you up and helping you.
Yeah, the musicians, we wanted the people around us that we trusted to be able to, you know, feel the music like we did. But John and I really did do the production and the, you know, we we kind of were more hands-on than most people because, well, this is the first time that I've done this as an independent artist. And, of course, we're, you know, dipping our feet into it as independent artists when we never knew what that, how to spell that before. So we kind of had to do a lot on our own, but you never do it by yourself. There's always, you know, other people that have to be part of the team. And people like you and, you know, and Chantel and some other reviewers and Jenny Foley, who's a very good friend that's taking it to radio. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, it's so cool to find friends that will just jump on and help just because they love the music.
Don't want to put you on the spot, but I like to ask every guest if there's anything, if there are any struggling people out there, either they're a musician or they just want to be an artist, they want to get their songs out there and they're having a tough time. Is there anything you could tell them in the way of, like, don't give up?
I would say two things. One, do the best music you can possibly make. Make the best music you can possibly make. And two, do the best business you can possibly do. You have to be able to be a master at both the music and the business.
So if that's not your forte, you better get on it then.
Yeah, so. And you know, and in that realm, if you need to train for it or whatever. But people make a mistake when they think they can do one or the other. You know, John and I are not looking to be the next, Ike and Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
But we made the best music that we made this music, and that's what we did. As far as the business goes for us, it's a little bit different because we're not going to get in the bus and go down the road. But for a new artist and someone that has the desire to get out there and try to see as far, you know, go as far as they can possibly go, I think they have to really research how the business is being conducted these days.
Yeah.
And so do great music, do great business, and, you know, continue to be the best human being you can, so it makes a difference.
I'm glad that house concerts and small venues are being in vogue again now, because that's probably the best way to connect with people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you can sell your wares when you want to.
Right. And for John and I, we're not going to go down the road in a van, but we do love to play in special circumstances. And we want to have the opportunity to do what kind of inspired us, which was, you know, we watched Carole King and James Taylor at the Troubadour. We really were watching that show when the idea of making music again occurred to us.
Oh, okay.
Because it meant so much to us. And people were listening to it, and it was valuable. So we thought, okay, if we can make that kind of magic, you know, let's do it. So
yeah.
We would love to play in special circumstances like that, special shows here and there, and we'll see what shakes out.
I sure do appreciate that. John, you still there? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, what's nice for us is we're in a place where we don't have to do it. We just want to do it. We enjoy doing it. And, you know, it's not like our future depends on it, because it does. You know?
Right.
So it's a good thing. It's a good place for us to be right now.
Well, it's a good place for you to be, and I'm happy that I got to see you in that place.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I know you have. You were mentioning the Troubadour. I'm as close as I am to Hollywood, and you know some of those clubs out there. I mean, we have our legendary ones like you do out there, the Commodore and the Bluebird, uh-huh. and things like that. We have ours, Whiskey a Go Go, and some of these some of these legendary places where you're standing in the same place that, you know, Jim Morrison and the Doors were playing mm-hmm. at one time. You know. And we like that, but, you know, it's not, I'm glad I live a little farther away from the city.
Right.
It can be a little seedy at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I always get off on a tangent, but listen, I'm so glad I got to meet you too. And I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all this stuff. I know everybody's going to like it.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to respect your time and let you get off. But John and Judy, thank you so much for talking with me. I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you.
It was fun.
Thank you, Dean.
Okay, you both take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay,
all right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's been a good day. Good night.
Sweet dreams.
Well, there you have it. Wow. What great people to talk to, and so talented. All the music that you heard is on the CD, Here We Are, and it'll be available March 28, 2015. If you're listening to this afterwards, please go and pick it up at all the places that you get music. And if you're not sure, please go to www.johnandjudyrodman.com. Until next week, please put your best pen forward and be a strong writer. This is Dean Olson saying have a great one, and we'll see you next week. Bye now.
To listen to past episodes of Strong Writer on the radio, please go to strongwriter.com. You've been listening to Strong Writer on the radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the amazing women and men of power. The world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.